birds.
Hey. A little rainy out there, huh? It's all right. Get you a towel later. Birds, we've got a lot of stuff going on today. Yeah. A raindrop. Get out of here before the bus shows up. You know, we have all the makings of a trial today. We've got a defendant. We got prosecutors. Actually, all we really needs a witness. Testify. Mr. Marvin Gaye to get us rolling here on Friday. We made it. It's 3, let's make it 4 after the hour. Pandemic Pirate Radio from Bleat.network here in Chicago. And it is 9/11. We'll talk about that, I assure you, today. And lots of other stuff that's happening in the present day today. So, some quick news, and then we'll hit some larger stuff. Not a whole lot I can do, but send some genuine thoughts and prayers and best wishes out to the West. Multiple mega fires burning, more than 3 million acres. You know what? Let's make a quick point. If anybody you know missed this, this is not unrelated to global warming. This is all about the same thing. Crisis in the nation's most populous state is more than just an accumulation of individual catastrophes. It's something that climate experts have long worried about. I'm quoting Apple News here. A cascade effect, which a series of disasters overlap, triggering and amplifying each other. So that's what's happening in the West. And as I say, we'll continue to monitor. I don't know, except to tell you, as I say, information sometimes arms us. They're running short on firefighters out there. I understand they're going to bring in a team from Israel. So that's the deal going on in the West today. Let's see here. Just a moment as we continue to monitor the end of the Trump administration, and it's going to be kind of a slow one. Well, actually, maybe not. Federal court yesterday rejected President Trump's order to exclude unauthorized immigrants from population counts that are going to be used next year to reallocate seats in the House of Representatives, ruling that it was so obviously illegal that a lawsuit challenging the order need not even go to trial. The court, a three-judge panel in the Federal District Court in Manhattan, said Mr. Trump's proposal exceeded his authority under federal law governing the census and reapportionment. The specially convened panel said that there was no need to consider a second claim in the lawsuit and that President's order violated the Constitution's requirement to base apportionment of the House on, quote, the whole number of persons in each state, quote, unquote. All right, anyway, we'll get to that a little bit. I think we're going to have Aaron, the news baron, join me during the hour today. We'll chew up some of the stuff that's happening in Washington. I want to definitely talk about the census and voting by mail, stuff like that. Also, the rush of books about President Trump. He seems to be doing great these days. It's a book a day. We'll get to that today if we can. A couple of minutes, I'm going to visit with a doctor whom I know. We disguised his identity a little bit. I wanted to get the scoop on the vaccine. So we'll do that. I went undercover yesterday. I'm now known as Deep Foot. So that's going on here. Oddly enough, the story of the day seems to be something that evolved with the beginning of the NFL season yesterday. If you're a sports fan, you know about this. If not, the Kansas City Chiefs play in Arrowhead Stadium, Kansas City. Yesterday, they had a game there, and among other things, the crowd appeared to boo during a pregame moment of unity. And that gesture, which was conceived in part by Texans QB Deshaun Watson and Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes, involved both teams coming together at midfield. Seven phrases developed by players on both teams were displayed on the scoreboard during the moment. So here's what they had on the billboard there, the scoreboard. We support equality. We must end racism. We believe in justice for all. We must end police brutality. We choose unconditional love. We believe Black Lives Matter, and it takes all of us. So anyway, they showed those seven phrases on the scoreboard. The moment of unity took places following the performance of the national anthem. Now, players on the Houston Texans elected to remain in the locker room during the performance of the national anthem and lift every voice and sing, which is, says here is commonly known as the Black National Anthem. I'm going to leave that open to somebody else's comment. Anyway, players on the Kansas City Chiefs elected to remain on the field. Chiefs linebacker Alex Okafor took a knee during the national anthem, the lone Kansas City player to do so. So what happened then? Well, according to NBC Sports' Michelle Tafoya, players on the Texans decided to stay in the locker room for both songs. Houston executive VP of football Jack Easterly told NBC Sports that the demonstration was, quote, not about black or white. It is about change. Now, are we done? No, not quite. You'll recall that the Kansas City Chiefs are named after a Native American idea. So fans in attendance at Thursday's season opener also took part in what's called the Arrowhead Chop. The Arrowhead Chop, not to be confused with the, what is it called, the Tomahawk Chop that the Atlanta Braves are doing. The team announced it was engaged in a thorough review process of the Arrowhead Chop. Do I have to explain what that might be? It's exploring all options for a modified engagement moment from the drum deck. So as part of that announcement, Kansas City also announced that it had banned fans from wearing headdresses, pardon me, and face paint that is styled in a way that references or appropriates American Indian cultures. Who won that game? Anybody? Faced with a defensive strategy he hadn't seen before from the Houston Texans, Patrick Mahomes did what he does best. He adjusted for the Chiefs. Mahomes became the first player to throw three touchdown passes with no interceptions in three consecutive season openers in the Chiefs' 34-20 victory in the NFL season's kickoff. Did we kick off? Oh, Lord. Anyway, that's what happened last night. You make up your own storyline, could you? This music, it's from Ryan Adams.
My blue Manhattan. She sang me like a child, how sweet. Fire and rain on the street. It's you against me most days. It's me against you, though. The snow's coming down on the cars in midtown.
Something from Ryan Adams, R-A-R-R-Y-A-M, not to be confused with Brian Adams. It's called My Blue Man. Here at 14 After the Hour, it's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago for a Friday morning, the 11th of September. And please join us on the dialogue here. You can send me an email at radioanything@gmail.com. Anytime, day or night, 24/7, you can send us a voice memo. Feel free, and it is free. At 844-220-3300. So, yeah, yesterday I went undercover in more ways than one. You know, we just don't get a lot of real contact with actual people. So much of everything is filtered through media interviews and stuff like that there. Anyway, I had an opportunity to talk to a doctor, and I wanted to see what he had to say. I believe that this is he.
All right, give me 5 minutes.
Here he is.
Dr. Paul.
Yeah.
I think it was about in March that I first read an article about the COVID, and the word vaccine was there, and I thought it was one thing. And as of this week, every intelligence agency in the world is spying on each other, and there are dozens of vaccines. What about it?
There are a dozen vaccines partly because the government is paying
multiple companies.
Our government.
Right. And other governments are probably subsidizing theirs as well to try and come up with the best vaccine. So instead of putting all of their eggs in one basket, they're spreading it out and hoping that somebody comes forward with something good. So it's a decent program when you think about it, you know, trying to get as many players to come to the table as possible. Will they get a vaccine in time? Hard to say.
By the election?
Hard to say.
It's not hard for me to say. All right, but hang on. But in general, let's pretend we're in science. Yeah. Only general, wouldn't it be better to have everybody concentrating on one thing than all these dozens and dozens of millions of scientists? What about it?
Well, okay. So I think that when you look at it in those terms, they are. You're just getting it from different companies. Company X is never going to share their proprietary information with Company Y.
They wouldn't do that.
Right. You know, it's never going to happen. So they're going to take their avenue to development, and they're going to try and race everybody to be the first. Now, does it mean that the first one that comes out is going to be the best one? Not necessarily. And let's say a vaccine came out tomorrow. How do we really know its safety?
And
how long does it take to know if something's safe? And it really depends on what type of vaccine we're talking about. There are vaccines that are going to modify your immune system. There's vaccines that are going to be ones that are going to induce immunity by, let's say, T-cell or by antibody response.
Like an immunotherapy.
Right. So it all depends on what type of vaccine you're looking for, and then what are the other ingredients in these vaccines that are going to make it safe or potentially harmful. You know, and I'll just throw a harebrained scheme out there, not because this has anything to do with science, right?
Yeah, Dr. Paul with a harebrained scheme.
Right, but let's just say that you have a vaccine that seems to work well, and we find out 3 years later that it causes something new. You know, how do we know until it's been out there? Now, I'm not saying don't get a vaccine for those types of reasons.
Like thalidomide, something bizarre like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So could that happen? Absolutely. And is that a reason to not get a vaccine? No, because, you know, they'll hopefully be safe. Perfect example, the one that they just shut down.
AstraZeneca?
Yeah. They shut it down from one person.
But that's research, yes? I mean, we would do that. That wasn't
it's one person, and they got to look at it and say, okay, is this safe? So by the time they come to market, whichever drug company brings one forward, we'll know the short-term safety of it. The long-term safety is going to be something else that we're going to have to look at, but odds are we're not going to find another thalidomide problem. No. It's got to be safe in the short term.
But when you say we, when you're talking the imperial we.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the radio and reporting it. Yeah. I can tell you, we do not know what's happening.
Yeah.
Do doctors know what's happening? Dr. Fauci looks like they're about ready to pull him back, put a mask over him permanently and not let him talk. I mean, our impression is everybody's being muzzled.
So I think that there's two sources for your information. The media, the news, you guys, right, radio, television.
Which is not very good.
Newspaper, print, if people still read.
Yeah.
And then there's actual data. There's studies that come out. And the studies in the peer-reviewed journals, by and large, are generally impartial, good science.
Lancet?
So every once in a while, when there's a hot topic, these journals get pressure to release papers on those topics. And they can be duped even from a peer-reviewed journal. They can be duped just like anybody else. So there's times where they'll have to retract an article. And it's happened a couple times through this crisis already, I think, even with The Lancet.
Yeah.
But by and large, good medical journals, New England Journal of Medicine, you know, surgical journals, all of these articles that are reviewed by surgeons, that are reviewed by internal medicine doctors, or reviewed by infectious disease doctors, and when those papers get published and when that paper has enough power, because we grade all of our data, we're going to give them a scale, 1 to 5, on how effective we believe that journal article to be as far as what I'm going to use in my clinical practice.
Yeah.
And when you look at good evidence-based medicine, it guides the physicians to what to do. Now, are the physicians going to be on the TV telling you we understand it? No, they're not.
Oh.
So it's going to have to be something that you're going to have to deal with your individual doctor.
Is there a day in which you get a note from the FDA saying, Dr. Paul, let's go with Nexapro, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead and prescribe it. Is that what's going to happen?
I don't think anybody relies on the FDA for that.
Yeah.
I really don't. You know, even
are they irrelevant now? I mean, they were kind of relevant.
I think they're relevant in terms of helping us gather our information and our data. But ultimately, the treatment plan is going to come down to the infectious disease, you know, organizations or the immunology organizations getting together a Fauci kind of guy who's going to say, this seems to be our best avenue.
And these epidemiologists, by and large, do seem to agree. Internally, do you agree with that?
Yeah,
I mean,
there's
not a lot of...
Okay. You know, the problem is that modeling, when they look at modeling, it's not a precise science, right?
Yeah.
So they're based on predictions and assumptions that things either stay the same or change based on this or that. That's not really what we want.
Right.
We want to know what's actually happening. So epidemiology, you know, when they start to look at the past and say, how did we get here? They're excellent because the path is there. There's no guesses. But when they say, this is how many people are going to die or this is how many people are going to get the disease, those are theoretical values that can change any day.
Okay.
The wind can change.
That's a spreadsheet that could...
Right.
All right. Okay.
But when we start to look at, here's a study that showed drug X did this.
Yeah.
And we can start analyzing the variables, and we look at it and say, okay, this seems to be a good product or a bad product. You know, those aren't opinions that this drug is the one to use.
Oh.
It's going to be, this is a good one or this is a bad one. And then the doctors are going to read that and say, okay, this is the one that seems to be working. Look, here's the study that showed it. My practice is going to move in that direction.
Got it.
And that's how they're going to base it. They're not going to base it on the FDA saying, well, this drug's approved.
Thank God. Dr. Poe, how are you feeling?
I'm good.
Yeah? Yeah. All right, good. What's the worst thing that you heard out of the White House this year? You want to call me up and say, no, it's not. Come on, go ahead.
You know, I was actually shocked yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday was really shocking when I actually heard that tape where Trump did say
to Woodward,
yes, that this was airborne and that it's much worse than the flu, because we've been yelling that as physicians for months.
Did you hear the one where it was French kissing Kim Jong Un?
I did not.
There we are. Thank you.
Can't put anything past me anymore, though.
Thank you. Can I come back?
Absolutely.
Do
the next. again. Why do I find it hard to write the next line? Oh, I want the truth to be said. I know this much is true.
Called Spandau Ballet. Would they be a one-hit wonder? Do you have the Spandau Ballet greatest hits? Anyway, there we are. It's 29 after the hour here, Pandemic Pirate Radio. For Friday, we made it here. We're doing our best to find the truth. And, you know, I've got something I could throw out here. I wrote a book some years ago, and I was reminded yesterday that it's actually online, free. I got into a little dispute with Kindle. Anyway, it's happinessforbeginners.com. I'm going to ask Sparks to maybe put a link up on our website, which is bleat.network, and you'll get the whole book. There's a little special thing. You go onto that front page, and there's a little red type that says special ebook, and that's the whole book. And I'm going to refer to that today, and I wanted to make a point. You know, it's as I say, it's all there free for you. Should you want to read something, there's a paperback version of that. We've got some copies of that. I've just got to figure out how to mail those out. Anyway, I was thinking of that, and one of the chapters that I recall starts by talking about attacks that I have endured. I remember one in particular. I was at a party in, let's see here. Wait, it's time for something. Oh, it's time? Okay, stand by. I have a lot of alarms going off here. Anyway, so I'm at this party. I think it was like the last year I was in high school, and it was some party out in Porter County, Indiana, and there was we're all kind of hanging out. And this guy I'd never seen before comes out of the crowd and says, "I don't like you, and I'm going to punch you in the face." And he did. Now, all right, I'm okay. The guy's having one of those nights. He couldn't pick up a girl. It's one of those guys, you know, with a box of Marlboros rolled up in his sleeve. It just wasn't working for him. So he was a little off. Anyway, he decided to smack me, and the point I'm making with all of this is it wasn't so much the blow, I shook it off, I left. It was the surprise. And it occurred to me yesterday as I was trying to figure out what we should make of the current administration, the one that is, I think, going to be done pretty soon here, why we are always grappling with things. And you know what it is? It's a surprise. It's what? He said what? No kidding, really? He did? No. He really? There you go. It's a smack a day. So that's what I was going to think about talking about. In fact, let's do that. Let's call up Aaron, the news baron, and see what he says about being surprised. Right after this.
This is our chance to put the darkness of the past 4 years behind us, to end the anger, the insults, the division, the violence, and start fresh in America. We can stop focusing on a president who thinks it's all about him and start focusing on what's best for us. We need to get control over the virus. Donald Trump failed. Joe Biden will get it done. We need to help working families. Joe Biden's plan rewards work and makes the wealthy and corporations pay their fair share. We need to take the next step in healthcare. Joe Biden will lower premiums and reduce drug costs while still protecting those with pre-existing conditions. We need to take on climate change and protect Social Security and Medicare. We've had 4 years of a president who brings out the worst in America. Isn't it time we had a president who brought out the best?
I'm ready.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
All right, Joe. Thank you. We hope that we hear more of him. So, should we go to the phones, as they say? Aaron, the News Baron, hello.
Hey, Gary. Good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I've shaken off those blows from the Trump administration. You know, those attacks keep slapping me there. So, I was watching MSNBC yesterday. I haven't done that for, I don't know, pretty long time. And I got good news and bad news. The bad news is that I kind of knew what they were going to say. And the good news is I kind of knew what they were going to say. So not a whole lot of surprises. We have all these books that we haven't read yet, Aaron. You've got the, let's see here, yesterday we had Bob Woodward making news with rage, all these interviews that he did with Trump. And then Michael Cohen was Trump's attorney. And yesterday I saw Peter Strzok, you remember him, the FBI agent? He's got a new book, and he was revealing that they still haven't figured out exactly what Putin has on Trump, but it's probably money. So anyway, go for it. You're cracking up a little bit, but that's all right. It's real radio. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I'll get the two small shots out of the way first. The Strzok book. The biggest takeaway from that for me was the fact that, again, as you said, they felt that he may have been a Russian asset.
Yeah.
That was, you know, we all knew that. Nothing really new there. Michael Cohen's book, the biggest takeaway for me there was the fact that he said that he got about $53 million in profit from the selling of property, and he believed that Vladimir Putin was directly responsible for sending that money over.
Right.
Again, we probably knew that, probably something small. But the biggest thing for me is the Bob Woodward book, and I'm sure a lot of that is already known. We knew that Trump wanted to downplay it. It was all in our faces. But getting his voice saying that, you know, this is more strenuous. I mean, this is worse than your most strenuous flu.
Yeah.
5% death rate versus one or less than that.
But he said in February.
He did, but then he went on months and months later saying that it was it was just like the flu, and
right. Kind
of recanting the voices of others around him saying the same thing. But that alone wasn't the main thing. For me, it was the fact that he knew it was airborne.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that it could be aerosolized and in the air,
right. Yet
for months he said wearing a mask was irrelevant.
Yeah.
And he knew that in the very first day. So that one bit there killed people, literally killed people.
It did.
That's a little frustrating, but it is what it is.
So, all right, I mean, he put all these things together. I guess where I'm coming from, there's really not anything very surprising in any of these books.
Right.
It's stuff that we either knew or we suspected, you know, I mean. Somebody wrote a book about, I think it was about Clinton, called The Death of Outrage years ago. I mean, we're sort of post-outrage here. So
exactly.
Well, I mean, what has, aside from the shock value, what's come out of any of this stuff that actually surprised you?
That's the big thing for me ever since he really won election. I don't really know if these books are aimed at us. You know, I don't know if they're supposed to be speaking to us saying, this is something that we found out behind the scenes you may not have known about.
Right.
I think that specifically Bob Woodward's book, a lot of his supporters who will hear his voice, and Woodward has the name in the industry to have some credence, I think hearing his voice blatantly lying,
yeah. Behind
the scenes, kind of showing off to his friend or showing off the guy that he looks up to, but in public saying the complete opposite. Those first few months, February, March, I think that would be new information for supporters who are just blindly listening to everything that came out of his mouth.
This is Aaron the News Baron on a pretty bad phone line. Not your fault. We'll try to straighten that out. I can kind of understand what you're telling me. And you know what? That's what being in pandemic pirate radio land is all about here. So, you know, I read this morning, Aaron. Let me just grab this. Pull this out. Yesterday, I think you know, a federal court rejected President Trump's order to exclude unauthorized immigrants from population counts. And they said that this was so blatantly illegal, they didn't really even need to think about it.
Right.
So what about that? I mean, it's almost like nothing is unexpected. Yet, on the other hand, it's not getting very far now with him.
That's true. Well, this is one of those ones he's been trying to hit over the head for a while.
Yeah.
There was a Supreme Court case about this. He tried to do an executive order about it. It just points to the fact that he's really, really headstrong on these immigration policies.
Yeah.
For his supporters, you know, it's keeping it in the news stream, basically, in my opinion. He knows it's not going to go through. But keeping it in the, you know, keeping public sentiment up. Or people who are outraged at our immigration policy and looking at that saying, oh, look, he's trying to change the system.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of all this. You know, I try not to do a lot of editorializing, but something really disappointing came up yesterday. The Chicago Police Union endorsed Trump. Why they would do that, I do not know. But, I have nothing good to say about that. And today being 9/11, we're going to talk about first responders at some point. So anyway, I don't know. Are people that still hanging on to the Trump thing? Are they just asleep, or is there more to that? Have they just stopped thinking? I don't want to be critical, but I'm shocked. Really, I'm shocked that at this point in the game, there's so much debate on stuff. You know, what about that?
Yes, it is utterly frustrating, and I wish I knew the answer to that one. Again, I always go back to assuming the best in people. I assume that people who have certain beliefs and actions for this presidency, that they haven't been shown an altered view of the facts.
Yeah.
They haven't done the due diligence to see, quote-unquote, both sides of the issue. They've just been being piped.
Hearing you here. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to call you back so we can clean up the line. But what you just said, I agree with. I think there's a hidden agenda of white supremacy. I don't think it's very well hidden.
Right.
people are hanging on to it. So, all right, listen, stand by for a second. Let me see if I can straighten our phone lines out here. We'll come back and we'll talk about a little bit more. How to bring an end to the Trump administration. That's coming your way in just moments, I hope.
Joe Biden was taught that if you see injustice, you've got to stand up and act. It's why, at age 26, Joe Biden became a public defender. Why he ran for county council and combated housing discrimination. And why, as U.S. Senator, Joe Biden led on civil rights and voting rights. In 2008, Barack Obama chose him, and for 8 years, Joe Biden served by the president's side, helping to lead us out of the last economic crisis and stop Ebola from becoming a global pandemic. But now, in this crisis, Donald Trump has failed the ultimate test of leadership, especially failing communities of color who have been hit hardest by this virus. To heal this nation, it will take a president who has always stood up to injustice. Someone who sees the deep problems in this country and is willing to take them head on. Joe Biden, let's build this country back better.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
There we go. Joe Biden hopefully taking over from President Trump in a couple of months here. Let's see here. I think we got Aaron the News Baron back. Aaron, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. That's good. Good, 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 good. I knew we would do it. We prayed to the radio gods. We offered them a sacrifice. So, listen, you and I have been talking about voting by mail and all that stuff. I saw here, let me just grab this, 18 before the hour here. A senior FBI official quoted saying, "We have not seen to date a coordinated national voter fraud effort during a major election, and it would be extraordinarily difficult to change a federal election outcome through this type of model alone." That is a senior FBI person talking about the Trumpsies, saying that it's easy to defraud mail-in voting. So I think that's not true. However, and I had this this thing happen. As you know, I tried to get a mail-in ballot here in Illinois, and I appear to get duplicates from the Chicago Board of Elections. So I think what I'm going to do, I know this is kind of homemade, I thought I would just write a little note that says this is a duplicate. I'm not trying to defraud anybody, and see how that goes. I don't know what else to do. So, comment?
Yeah, that one, I'm really hoping that is a one-off situation. That's a tough one because there's a lot of talk of election fraud, so yeah. I hate to go down that road, but you know, mistakes happen.
Yeah.
This isn't a perfect system, but I really, really hope they're not doing that to thousands of people. You know?
Yeah, I know. Well, I think it's bureaucracy. You know, I had an odd juxtaposition of things that were going on. I had a tree fall in the front yard that hit the building. So anyway, I had to get on the phone and deal out things with the city. And I know the city, well. I mean, I know the people and the aldermen. But my point is, in the middle of all this coronavirus thing, I realized that bureaucracy just isn't working very well. And so that was that. Anyway, table that for a second. The other thing I wanted to talk about, which I think is a lot more important, is the census. Mm-hmm. And I got a census thing, and I filled it out online. And when if you do that, you can go online and do it. And then the last screen you can save, which I did, right? So I did my census thing, and then I have gotten a bunch of more mail from the census people, which is obviously some sort of duplication. That is a little more worrisome to me than the voting.
Very, yes.
Have you been censused?
Yeah, I did fill it out. My household did fill it out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're cutting back the date to when they actually finish actively trying to collect census information.
Really?
They put that way back.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
To what, do you know?
The administration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not surprising there. So yeah. I think it's kind of tandem, the census suppression and the the general census suppression,
yeah,
and him trying to specifically get Hispanics or Latino Americans off of there.
Yeah. Hey, are we getting overly paranoid? Because I anything can happen, and I don't want to think it's in the bag. I do think that Trump's on his way out. But there was a thing. It was the last couple of days. The Washington Post had some opinion piece that said, "What if Biden wins by a landslide? It's a whole new set of problems." And last week it was, "What if Biden wins by just a couple of votes? It's a whole set of problems." When you read this, it's like, what's the right answer? Do you have a sense that we're just setting ourselves up for some paranoid outcome? What about that?
Yeah, I'm on both sides of it, of this one, honestly, because I don't want to be overly paranoid. The chances are, if we look at the electoral map,
yeah,
Biden's probably going to win.
Yeah.
But I think what they're talking about specifically may be on election day, when they tally up the in-person votes, Republicans at a higher rate vote in person.
Right.
So on November 3rd, the map could look a lot different from the final map.
Okay.
So what I think the Trump administration is banking on, that first day, Florida comes back red, Michigan, Pennsylvania comes back red,
okay,
Arizona maybe looks a little red,
yeah,
and they just declare that they win.
Yeah.
And then during those times, we're counting in the votes, and then Biden slowly comes up, and they're saying, well, they just through the election, and then, you know, people go in the streets and all that. So
yeah.
I think electorally, actual vote by vote, we shouldn't focus there, but the focus will be on trying to spin it after the public sentiment.
Okay, I buy that. All right, you and I will talk again before the election. And I hope that your mail-in ballots are not duplicated.
I'll leave them as soon as I get it in.
Here in the News Baron, stay vertical if you can.
I'll try. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Thanks, man. For no apparent reason, the Stray Cats. Here we go. Rocking. It's part of the idea of the show is to get up and do something. Stray Cats music. Then before the hour on 9/11, and I haven't mentioned that, and I'll take a second to do that. I actually lived in New York for 12 years. I remember 9/11 very well. We had moved back just a couple of years before that. My other half called me up on this day in 2001 and said, get up and look at the TV. She and I had moved to New York, and, you know, people have, you know, kind of a place that they go. Well, she and I used to go to a bar in New York City. We eventually decided we'd get married at that bar, and then we were able to see where our daughters were born from that bar looking out on Staten Island. And that bar was called Windows on the World. And that bar was on the top of the World Trade Center. So when I saw that come down on live TV, it was not a movie for me. It was a real thing. And I'm going to take just a second to talk about first responders. Let us never forget those people, these guys. And when I say guys, I mean men and women. The first guys into the fire, into the domestic dispute, into the riot, into the everything. First responders, we need them. We need them. And we'll disagree on individuals, and we'll talk about how to make that job more appropriate for the people that do it. But we should never forget that We need those people. And whatever we are voting for this year, I hope that we remember it. We need the first people that go into the bad areas. All right. So 9/11. Yeah. That's what I have to say about that. So the building came down, and I took a little bit of break from everything, and at some point I decided I would write comedy again. Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the baby boomer cliche blues. I finally turned 50. My memory's getting shifty. Seems like yesterday I was hanging out with Mickey Mouse. Now my hairline's receding. My gums appear to be bleeding. My prostate's the size of a house. I never know just where my car keys may be lurking. I take Ginkgo biloba, but I don't think it's working. I lived through assassination, recession, and inflation. I remember when we all lined up for gas. Now I'm doing yoga, so I never get excited, like when that bum who runs my mutual fund was recently indicted. I get all my information from some cable commentator who's younger than the Tupperware in my refrigerator. I went on a new diet, because Newsweek said to try it. But then Geraldo's buddies did some investigative studies. That healthy breakfast food was filled with saturated fat, and my lunch now causes migraines in laboratory rats. But you know they can't scare us. No matter how they do it, whatever they came up with, we've already been through it. I grew up in that scary Cold War with the Chinese and the Russians. Now I'm working up the nerve to try some liposuction. I had so many issues, I was running out of tissues. I finally forgave my father, I'm drinking bottled water. I used to be a drug-crazy hippie, now I have a dog named Skippy. So God, just make this half my life so far, because we already forgot who Deep Throat was. But we're on the map. We're through taking crap. Nothing fits at the gap. We enjoy all forms of popular music, but we still can't stand rap. Yeah.
Now I'm going to go somewhere, lie down, and take a nap.
This broadcast was produced in Chicago by Natasha Rodriguez. God bless America.
I see trees of green. What a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying. Much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.